Welcome to the Kindle Chronicles, the Friday podcast all about your Kindle. I'm Len Edgerly, and this is episode 75 for Friday, December 25, Christmas 2001. I'm recording on Wednesday, and this is going to be an abbreviated episode in lieu of taking an actual break for the Christmas holiday here in Cambridge. But I do have a special interview treat that I want to share for you for Christmas week. Not only will you hear from Bufo Calvin, an esteemed leader in the Kindle community who blogs at ILMK, that stands for I Love My Kindle, .wordpress.com, but thanks to Bufo's connections, I will also be talking with a very busy Chris Kindle direct from the North Pole. Darlene and I will return to Denver early next week. By the way, she heard today that her Kindle Chronicles press credentials have been approved by the International Consumer Electronics Show, CES, in Las Vegas. So she will be joining me on the floor of the expo and the all the sessions, and I hope that she's going to be able to help me do some interviewing and commentary about all the e-readers that are going to be released at the show. Specifically, the Plastic Logic Q is going to be making a grand entrance. And I keep getting press releases, because I'm on the CES mailing list, of other there's going to be a whole area just for e-books at the show, so it's going to be fascinating, and we're really looking forward to going there. That's January 6th through 9th, and we'll be staying at the Venetian. For now, I want to turn to my interview with Bufo Calvin, who received his Kindle One on Christmas 2 years ago. He's been a really active participant at the Amazon forum in particular, and he's also got that blog, and he's also got a couple of books. If you search for Bufo on Amazon, you'll find books that he's got up there about free content and just really helpful tips on using your Kindle. I'll begin the recording here with Bufo's reflections on what an amazingly full year 2009 has been for the Kindle.
You know, at the beginning of 2009, we only had the Kindle One. Everything that's come out since then has been in the past year, and that's just really astounding when you think about it.
I know. Sometimes I think back, and February was when the Kindle 2 came out, so it really has all happened this year.
Right. Kindle 2, Kindle DX, the Nook, the Kindle for PC app, the Kindle iPhone app, the Kindle iTouch app, and you know, it's just gone on and on. So I think this next year is possibly going to be even bigger, but certainly this was an important year.
Well, now, I just ran into a guy today who I know who's a fireman in Cambridge, Mass., not a big tech guy, and he said, oh, yeah, I bought my wife a Kindle, and I think she's really going to like it. So I just have a feeling this holiday season is going to be a huge amount of sales for Amazon.
Well, each month, November and December, have been the record months for the Kindle. So that's made me kind of laugh, because people were saying, oh, you know, the Nook's going to come out and kill the Kindle, and... Well, that didn't seem to happen. Nook came out and Kindle sales went way up. And I don't think that's particularly impact of the Nook itself. I think it's because the market for ebook readers is growing so much that everybody's going to be going up this next year.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, I'm picturing a lot of people unpacking Kindles for Christmas presents and just starting out the adventure, and you've been someone who's been really helpful to people on the forums just with questions that come up on how to use the Kindle and get the most out of it. So I understand you've already done some thinking about tips that you'd offer to someone who's just getting started with a Kindle on how to get the most out of it.
Right, I have, and I think that's particularly important with the Kindle, because for a lot of devices, the people who get them are already techies. They're already used to it. You don't have to give people five tips for using an iPhone. You're not going to get an iPhone if you don't know how to already work a cell phone. If you get a Kindle, though, this may be your first ebook reader. It almost certainly is. And a lot of people who get it are really more book readers, paper book readers, I should say, than ebook readers. So there are a few things that they need to know as they get started when they first unpack it. The first biggest thing I'd say is relax. It's easy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people expect it to be this complicated thing. You know, they've had their VCR blinking 12 o'clock for 20 years, and they're just not quite sure what they're going to do. Basically, you turn it on, it works. It's already got a couple little things on it. They're not all that exciting to read, a user guide, a dictionary. But, you know, you can turn it on, open up a book, it says next page, it says previous page. It's going to be easy. You're going to get used to it very quickly. That said, there are a few things that you should think about. The first thing that doesn't occur to people that can have repercussions down the line is my Kindle on the right account for me? Is this how I want things set up? If you start buying books, everyone who's on the same account has access to those same Kindle store books with a few little minor limitations. So if, let's say, your significant other has a Kindle already, they've got an Amazon account, they have a Kindle, or they have an iPhone or the PC app, and then you set your Kindle up on a separate account, you're not going to find it easy to share books for the same purchase price. So that's the first thing that wouldn't occur to people that I would say you want to think about. My recommendation generally is more people on the account is better. It's just easier to share books. And if you have shared finances in particular, that makes a lot of sense. The second thing that I would say is it will probably work right offhand without charging it first. And that's something that a lot of people are used to with devices. They get them, they have to plug them in overnight before they use them the first time. So you have that handy-dandy electric screwdriver, but you can't use it until the next day. So that's something I would say, that it will typically work right away. I would leave it plugged in overnight the first night, though, even though you can use it without charging it. The reason why I say that is there may be things that it wants to do that takes extra amount of power. If you pre-ordered books, and a lot of people, let's face it, who are getting Kindles already know they're getting them, so they may have ordered books for them, or the person buying it for them may have done that. And it takes the Kindle extra power to index those books, and it may want to install updates, that kind of thing. So it's just easier the first night. I would leave it plugged in overnight just to take care of that. Another thing that might not occur to people is to write down the serial number somewhere from the back of a Kindle. In the event that the Kindle is stolen or lost, that's a big advantage if you have that number. An insurance person might tell you to also take a picture of the Kindle, you know, with you holding it in your house or something like that. In case it gets stolen, that may help that you've got evidence that you had that particular Kindle. So that's one that I would just take a minute and write that down. It's a 16-digit number on the back. Another thing that I think people will want to know about right away is that you can travel with your Kindle on a plane easily. So what I'm picturing is people are at grandma's house and they get a present of a Kindle, and then they've got to get back on a plane and fly back home. They may be worried about putting it through the X-ray machine. That's fine, although a lot of the TSA, the traffic security folks, will take that. But, you know, they may just do it by hand, which is fine, or just let you walk through with it. It's okay to have your Kindle go through the X-ray machine. When you're on the plane itself, you should have the wireless turned off while you're actually on the flight. That's what Amazon recommends. And when you're taking off and landing, it's possible the flight crew is going to ask you to turn it off because it's an electronic device. It doesn't really threaten the aircraft from everything that I've ever read, but, you know, I would always comply with whatever the flight crew asks you to do. The last thing that I would say is to start out with exploring the free stuff. That's something that I'm known for a bit. I wrote a title that has to do with free books for your Kindle, but start out with samples and start out with getting those free books. Then you'll get used to it. You'll see what you like, and you can go from there.
I think that's terrific advice about making sure you've got the account set up the way you want it. If you want to switch your Kindle from the account that it was purchased under to, say, your spouse's or significant other's account, can you? What those steps are fairly simple, but what would someone need to do in order to make that switch?
They certainly can do that. From the Kindle itself, anybody who has a Kindle in their hands can deregister the Kindle from the current account that it's to. So you go to the home page, which you do with just a home button. You hit menu and you hit settings. And in there you'll see a place where you can deregister it. That's obviously significant when people steal Kindles or lose Kindles. People wonder about that. Are they going to be able to charge stuff on my account? What's going to happen? Well, somebody who steals your Kindle can deregister it from your account just right from the device. So that's step one, and at that point, the Kindle is not set up on any account. Then you're going to register it to an account, and if you already have an Amazon account, you can also do that from the device itself. What you do, again, is it's that home menu settings, And if it's currently deregistered, you'll have a choice to register. What you're going to need is the username, which will be an email, and the password for that account. That's an easy way to do it. It's also possible for someone who has a Kindle account to set up a Kindle on their device through Amazon's Manage Your Kindle page. Somebody who already knows about Kindles would be able to do that. To do it that way, they need to use that serial number that I was talking about to register it.
Now, one thing you mentioned that I notice from time to time when I've put a book onto my Kindle and I want to search for a word, it'll say, sorry, it's indexing.
Yes.
What does that mean? What's it doing when it's indexing, and why does it sort of take a while?
Sure. It's the same kind of thing that we do on computers. You usually have an option to have something like find fast on or not on. Basically, it's like a human indexer would do with a book. It takes the book and it goes through the book to find words and lists for itself on which locations in a Kindle or which pages, if it was a person doing a paper book, that word is located. And it probably is smart enough to not do things like the word the and the word a. So then later on when you say, I need to find the word, let's say Moriarty, right? You want to find all the references mm-hmm. to Professor Moriarty in the Holmes books. It already knows that Moriarty appears in these 10 locations. That's what enables it to find it for you quickly. If it's not indexed and you say, I want to find Moriarty, it needs to read all the Holmes books looking for it.
Now, does that happen every time I move a book from my archive in kind of the Amazon cloud onto my Kindle? Does it have to be re-indexed on the Kindle?
You know, I'm not 100% sure on that. I would bet you that it doesn't. I would think that that information is probably stored. I know that there's a separate index file on the Kindle that you can actually delete and start over. That is something, I've got information about that. That if your Kindle is starting to run very slowly, it's something that you can do is to force it to re-index everything because it may have things indexed that you're not using. So that slows down the computer to have things it doesn't need. I know I called it a computer. It's a Kindle, same thing, basically here. But that may slow things down. So what my feeling is, I haven't done the research, and I'm always careful to point that out, but I would give you probably a 90% probability it does not have to re-index the same one that you put back on the device.
Do you have any good things on your Kindle these days that you're reading that you've found in intriguing places or just that are captivating you when you have some time with your Kindle?
Well, I'm going back through all of the Sherlock Holmes stuff. I just mentioned Moriarty. That's why he was on my mind, although, of course, as the Napoleon of crime in London, I have to keep track of him anyway. But I'm going back through it, and I have to say that those books are working very well with text-to-speech in the car for me. Huh. Some books are better with that, and some books are not. Arthur Conan Doyle, who of course wrote the original Holmes stories, writes very straightforward in his sentences. So it's very easy to follow. Even if the Kindle makes a mistake in pronunciation, it's not a complex, twisty kind of a sentence, so everything makes sense. I suppose the funniest thing is that the Kindle fairly consistently refers to Holmes's partner as Drive Watson, because it is translating the DR period into drive as though it was a street address.
Oh, that's funny.
Right. So that happens quite a bit, but you get used to that very quickly. The text-to-speech, which was built by another company called Nuance, I think was really intended to take orders automatically over the phone. So when it's kind of not sure what it's doing things that would make sense for somebody placing an order. And it's more likely that somebody is placing an order to an address that has drive in it than that they're using the abbreviation for doctor.
Interesting. What version of the Holmes collection did you buy one on Amazon or use a Project Gutenberg, or what was your source?
Actually, that's a great question. I tend to use feedbooks.com, just FEEDBOOKS.com, for the public domain works like that, the ones that are no longer under copyright and are available free commonly for that reason. I find the ones on Amazon are just not that well formatted, so they tend to have more weird little breaks in the sentences and the page numbers in the middle of the page And for some reason, which I find ironic, the text-to-speech reading the ones from Amazon, it's much worse. It has a lot more references to invisible characters, which I don't know if you listen to the text-to-speech, but you'll hear it say backslash 4723921. And what it's doing there is reading out loud a character that you can't see if you're looking at the book. Well, I don't find that happening with the feed books ones. So I tend to use that. You can also get those books directly wirelessly to your Kindle if you have the WhisperNet. So it's not any harder than getting them from the Amazon store. That, by the way, just a quick comment on that. The Nook and the Sony don't allow you to go to websites besides their own stores. And that, to me, is the big drawback, is that you can't go to places like FeedBooks and ManyBooks.net and get those public domain books straight to your Kindle or straight to your Nook or Sony.
In that sense, the Kindle is more open.
It is, absolutely. And that's a common misconception about the Kindle, that it's going to be harder to get books from places besides their own store than it is going to be on the Nook or the Sony. And I've actually looked at that. I don't find that that's true. I mean, just, again, because of places like feedbooks.com and manybooks.net, which have you wirelessly do it. It was very interesting recently. You may have talked about it, but FictionWise has now said that it has a Kindle store.
Right.
And you can buy things from FictionWise and put it right on your Kindle. Well, of course, the interesting thing about that is, who owns FictionWise?
Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Right. And it's nothing that they haven't had before. They've had these non-digital rights management Mobi books there at the FictionWise before, but they just didn't say, oh, it's a Kindle store. So it makes sense. They might as well sell to the Kindle. They know that not everybody's going to buy a Nook and that a lot of people have Kindles, so why not sell your books to them too?
Now, you published a couple of items at the Kindle store about the Kindle. One was how to find free content. Do you have anything in the works that will be coming out in the next few months?
I can tell you I've just started something which is exciting to me. I've been doing my blog, the I Love My Kindle blog, which we just, and this is, you're getting exclusive information here, but I just hit 1,000 paid subscribers, which was exciting to me to get up that high.
Fabulous.
People pay for the convenience of having it on their Kindle, although you can also get it for free, of course, and that's okay with me too. But that was exciting, and that's been taking a lot of my time, to be honest with you. I write at least 1,000 words a day for that, and that is a lot of writing. So I do have some other things in the works, but not in the near future. The thing that I was going to say that I did also just do is start a second blog, and this is sort of an experiment for me, and this is one that's not taking a lot of my time. But what I'm doing is those Sherlock Holmes novels and the short stories, but one chapter a day. So this is serialized, and with the original Holmes stories, they came out one chapter at a time, basically, in the Strand magazine, or a lot of books like Great Expectations were serialized. And my idea here is I think that people with Kindles in particular are going to find that attractive, that each day there's a new chapter that they read on the commute, or that they read at lunch, rather than I'm going to get the book all at once and I'm going to have these the equivalent of 3,000 pages to go through. It's just, you know, here's 5 pages a day. So I don't know if it's going to work at all, but that's something I've just started. That's 221B Blog Street.
221B?
Blog Street.
Blog Street for Baker Street?
Absolutely, because Holmes's famous address was 221B Baker Street, so this is 221B Blog Street.
And you spell out blog and street?
Yep, spell out blog and street. You know, otherwise I might confuse the Kindle, right? If I put ST for example, if you have St. Lawrence, it's likely to say that's Street Lawrence.
Right.
So I do spell out street.
And does that .com or is it .blogspot after
that? These are both at, they're both available through the Amazon Kindle store.
Okay.
If you put Bufo Calvin, and that's B-U-F-O, B like boy, U, F like Frank, O, into the Amazon search, you'll find my page there.
Yeah.
I have an Amazon author page, and that will give you instructions to get to this. They're also both published at WordPress, which is one of the big blog publishers.
Right, okay.
So if you go to WordPress and you put my name in there, you'll find it.
Terrific. Now, is that is the Sherlock Holmes one up yet? Have you started the first chapter?
It is, yes. The first two chapters of A Study in Scarlet have been published. What will happen is when you get the blog itself, it's typically the last, I think it's going to be the last 14 blog posts every time you download it. It can be 10, it can be 14. Mm-hmm. I chose 14, and that's the way it should work. Now, the entire A Study in Scarlet is only 12 chapters, I think. Is that right? Yeah, something like that. But if people get into it in the next week or so, they'll have it from the beginning. If people get into it later on, they can go back to read the earlier chapters on the website version.
Right. Then do you plan to add other titles to the same web address or set up a separate one for the next story?
Well, it'll continue through all of the Holmes stories,
okay.
All the ones that are in the public domain anyway.
Yeah.
So it will start with A Study in Scarlet. It'll move on to Sign of the Four. Then we'll start getting into the short stories. And I know we're talking more about Holmes here, but of course the big movie is coming out.
Right.
That's an exciting thing for people. Holmes, the short stories are often more appealing to people. And that's when it actually became more popular. You can think of it as in the novels, we get a lot of the dark side of Holmes, a lot of when he's not on the case and he's doing the cocaine and he's sitting on the couch for a week without saying anything. So, I mean, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but pretty close. Most people like Holmes on the case, where he's peppy and he's exciting and he's in his manic phase. Might think of him as a classic manic depressive.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's in his manic phase, you know that Holmes, when he was on a case, told Watson that he wouldn't even eat while he's on the case. So occasionally he may pass out after a few days because he doesn't want to waste his body's energy on digestion while he's doing this. So he literally chooses not to eat while he's in the middle of the case. It's a chapter a day if it's a novel, and it will be a short story a day when we get to the short stories.
Huh. That's cool. So if again, you do the, and those will be 99 cents a month like the other blog?
That's up to Amazon.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to say. They start blogs out priced at $1.99 a month. They seem to all start out that way. And then they reduce them to 99 cents a month if they're popular.
Yeah,
that's what I think happens. And some people think that's odd. You know, it's more popular, it should cost more. No, it can cost less because you're going to sell more of them.
At this point, Bufo received word by Skype to the North Pole, I believe, that his friend Chris Kindle was available for a rare recorded conversation, the only one in existence to my knowledge. And here's how it went. Hello, Chris Kindle.
Oh, hello, Len. How are you today?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderfully this year. As you know, of course, it's been an excellent year for the Kindle, which helps us out a great deal. We're able to relax a little bit at the North Pole, of course, since many orders are being filled that way through the Kindle. In fact, you know, we like to sing up at the North Pole, as you're probably aware, and I do have a little song we've been singing about that. Just to share it with you here and your listeners, if you don't mind.
Oh, we'd love it.
Great. Well, this is just something I was saying to Mrs. Claus the other day. Kindle sells every single day. We kick back at the North Pole, won't even need the sleigh. Of course, I'm just kidding, naturally. We will still be using the sleigh to bring other things to good little boys and girls.
But you will have a few Kindles in that sleigh, maybe.
Oh, absolutely, we will. And if you can imagine teaching elves to make Kindles, it's just been a very complicated process. Now, I also certainly buy things from stores, which a lot of people may not realize, but we do like to support the worldwide economy, and that's something we've always done at the North Pole. I do have a couple of other little things, if you'd like, that I'd be happy to go through with you. Well, you know, I want to tell you that something people wonder about with my name being Chris Kindle and all, do I like the other e-readers? And of course I do, but for me, I do have to say that the Kindle is my favorite. So here's my little song about my my favorite e-reader.
Okay.
Kindle is my e-reader. Yeah, I think it's the best, you bet. I don't want to use Wi-Fi. I prefer the WhisperNet. All of the other readers have a very tiny store. Sure, you can read some free books, but I want to read much more. Oh, then one cyber Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Kindle with your case so white, won't you read out loud tonight? than how the others loved him, and they shouted out with glee, "Kindle, the white-cased reader, you're the only one for me."
That is fabulous.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Len. And I do want to wish all of your listeners out there a merry e-Christmas and a happy e-holidays.
Oh, indeed. Well, that was Chris Kindle making a special appearance at the Kindle Chronicles, and I can see that might be something that has to become an annual tradition.
Oh, well, I have to tell you, I do have to get to the sleigh port soon. As you can imagine, it takes me quite some time to get through security.
I imagine. Now, do you have any other gifts for us, or is that the extent of the offerings for 2009?
Now, you don't want to be too greedy here, Len. You know, I keep track of who's naughty and who's nice. I should say there are a few publishers who will be getting bricks in their stockings this year, but generally, people have been quite good. I do think there may be a few surprising things coming up on the horizon, but well, I look forward to a wonderful 2010 myself.
Me too. Well, thanks very much. And can you put Bufo back on the line?
Absolutely. I'm sure he's around here somewhere. Yes. Well, here he is.
Okay, Len. Well, yeah, you know, I always loved that guy. I got to tell you, he's a little bit of a ham for me, but there you go.
Boy, I tell you, he's the real thing. That was fabulous.
Well, he does bring so much joy and happiness to the world that, you know, you got to cut the guy a little slack, you know. I mean, that's okay.
I especially like his line about preferring the WhisperNet to the Wi-Fi.
Well, you know, that's a lot of people do. Now, I have to say, because, again, he's a little bit, let's say, an advocate for the Kindle. I think that has to do something with his name. I don't know if he's getting royalties or what the story is. But I got to tell you, you know, for some people, Wi-Fi is a good thing. If you're out in an area where you can't get the WhisperNet, I don't think it's a bad thing at all to have it. But, you know, you can try and argue with that guy. But, you know, he's just so jolly, you just kind of have to let it go after a while.
That's true. Well, Bufo, yeah. I'm glad your family granted you some time to help me with the podcast. I had to negotiate my own time here with the microphone this week. But I think that when I share the results of it, they're going to think it was time very well spent.
Well, thank you. I'm very grateful to my family for the time that certainly that I get with this. And they have a good time with it. This is every time of the year, I have to say that my family does come first, and that's certainly one of the things that they know that I have a lot of fun doing this, and that's important to them, too.
Oh, that's great. Well, you have a Merry Christmas, and it's going to be fun to stay in touch with you in the new year.
You've got it, Len. So, and again, for me, too, I'm going to say Happy New Year to all of your Kindle Chronicles listeners.
Well, I want to thank Bufo Calvin for that bit of Christmas whimsy, and there isn't anybody in the Kindle sphere that is having more fun with really creative aspects to the Kindle and using it, as well as really careful analysis and presentation of answers to questions that people have about the Kindle. So he is a real treasure in the Kindle sphere, and that was great fun to be able to talk to him this week on the occasion of the holiday. I hope this holiday brings you much joy and many good books to read on your Kindle. If you are one of the new Kindle owners this week joining us for the first time, welcome. I hope you'll come back often for the regular routine of news, tech tips, and interview content recommendations and your comments. If you would like to be included in what I call the Kindled Spirits email alert list, please drop me an email at podchronicles@gmail.com. I send the people on that list an email the moment I've uploaded a new episode of the podcast, as well as occasional alerts on late breaking news, and sometimes I ask for help in preparing questions for some of the interviews that I do. Music for my podcast is Ramonk by Eval Monegat on the Variations in Time, a Jazz Perspective CD by Public Transit Recording, courtesy of IODA PromoNet. This is Len Edgerly from Cambridge, Massachusetts for the Kindle Chronicles. Next time I talk to you, I'll be in Denver. I really appreciate your taking the time to listen to my podcast. Have a great day and a joyful holiday. Bye.